as I said, I will not be able to teach the lesson. We obviously don't have time for all that's before us. This is a difficult passage. It's a very complicated passage, so we're going to have to do it next year, the lesson 13 on the first Sunday in January. As you know, the next two Sundays will not be having adult fellowship. I can't call it that. I'm so used to Sunday school, but adult fellowships these next two Sundays. Well, there's an old saying with preachers, be ready to preach, pray, or die in a moment's notice. They have added some, and it's this, be ready to preach, pray, die, or move at a moment's notice. So rather than take the lesson, I'd like to just give a brief devotional based on the term Emmanuel. You should call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, M with, Emmanuel, God, God with, Emmanuel, I'm sorry to say, Emmanuel, God with us. That's a wonderful term. People don't realize that it has always been God's desire to dwell with us from eternity to eternity. It begins, remember, in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned. The first words of God to Adam were, where are you? T-A-I. It was God's desire to be with Adam and Eve. I can't get over that. God fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. The human brain is incredible. The most brilliant person in all the world uses just a fraction of the capacity of the brain. It's been broken by sin, tainted by sin. And I can't help but believe that when Adam and Eve were with God, they could think the thoughts of God. They could talk with God. They could think thoughts that we can never think. The mind is made to never forget. And we do forget because of sin. The mind was made to think great thoughts. And there are illustrations of the capacities of the brain. For instance, there are people that have the capacity to look at something and then draw it perfectly, detail for detail, never forget it. In our special needs group here at church, there's a boy that we've grown to love that has that capacity. His parents one time showed us a drawing of the end of a program on TV, sponsored by, well, it could be reproduced by, word for word. I mean, he had every single word down perfectly, not forget. If he sees you tomorrow, he can tell you what you're wearing today in detail. He's a special needs child, but he has that capacity. It just shows what the brain can do. And God was with Adam and even communed with him until sin came along. And it's interesting, there are all through the Bible illustrations of this. For instance, I don't know if you've ever noticed the song of Moses in Exodus 15. Well, let's take a look at it. Exodus 15. Genesis, Exodus 15. This is right after the Exodus, when they've left Egypt, and the Red Sea experience is behind them. And the climax of the Song of Moses is found in chapter 15, verse 17. Thou wilt bring them, talking about Israel, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thy dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. What's he talking about? A place where they can worship God. A place where they can be with God. And that's right after the Exodus. When you think of the tabernacle, the whole point was an illustration of God being with them, the Holy of Holies. And the Shekinah glory dwelt there. The Shekinah glory represented God that was in the Holy of Holies. And then you come to Ezekiel, chapters 9, 10, and 11. In Ezekiel, the glory departs. That's why it's called Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory has departed. And in Ezekiel, chapters 9, 10, 11, you have the glory leaving the temple. And Ezekiel sees the glory, first of all, come to the threshold. Then leaves the threshold, goes to the door. Then to the door to Mount of Olives, just to the east. Then gone. Just a reluctant departure of the Shekinah glory. Then in chapters 44 to 48, there is the construction or the description of the new temple. There's going to be a new temple. There's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem. And it's interesting, it talks about the Shekinah glory returning. And it's just like that. Reluctant to leave, immediately to come back. And Jesus is Emmanuel. And then you come to Revelation. And I'm just taking the high spots, there are more. You come to Revelation, and let's take a look at chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Start with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be among them." And that's the eternal Emmanuel, God with us. So the coming of the Lord Jesus is just a token of God's promise for the future. We saw him, humans saw him. It was a revelation of God, but it's just a picture of what eternity will be, because I can't believe it. God wants to dwell with you. He wants to dwell with me. I'll touch a little bit more. I've got time here. I might as well develop this a little bit more. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but in God's great program of the ages, he has seen fit to have seven temples. Two of the temples are past. Three of the temples are present day. And there are two future temples. The first past temple is the temple that was built by Solomon. It was a glorious thing, plated with gold. I don't know if there's ever been a building that was more costly to build per square foot than that temple by Solomon. Well, of course, it was destroyed. It was destroyed by the Babylonians in a series of destructions between 606 and 576. It was destroyed. Then it was rebuilt under the admonitions of Hosea and Zechariah, and there was a second temple built. Not as glorious, of course, as the first temple. And the Jews call this the second temple period. First temple destroyed by the Babylonians. There's the second temple period, and that temple was destroyed in AD 70. As the Lord predicted, not one stone was left on top of another. But in the present age, he has three temples. But before I discuss those, let me talk about the future temples. There is going to be a second temple, which is called the Temple of God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's going to be a rebuilt temple, and the Antichrist is going to set himself up as God in that temple. That temple is going to be destroyed. Then there's going to be what we call the Millennial Temple, described in Ezekiel 44 to 48. There's going to be a temple built for 1,000 years in which Christ will have participants and be participating. Those are two past temples, two future temples. In the present day, there are three present-day temples. Before I discuss these, we need to know there are two words for temple in the New Testament. The one word for temple is naos. Well, let me take the other word. The other first word is heteron. Heteron looks at the whole temple area. When the Lord drove the money changers out of the temple, he drove them out of that area. There's a court of the Gentiles, court of the women, and then the temple itself, the sanctuary. The court of the Gentiles is where the money changers were. And the Lord drove all those characters out of that area. They're just moneymakers. So in that whole area, the whole thing is called heteron. There's a second word, which is naos, N-A-O-S, and it means sanctuary. It looks at this one building, the holy place and the holy of holies, where God dwelt, hypothetically. Now, we have three present-day temples today. All three are called naos temples, N-A-O-S. The first naos temple is your body. Your body is called a temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And we are to glorify God through this body, especially in keeping it sexually pure. That's the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, to keep your body sexually pure. Flee fornication. The second temple is the local church. The local church is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What? Don't you know that you are the temple of God and God dwells among you or in you? And he's looking at the local church. When the church comes together, every single believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And when they come together in a very special way, God is there. Remember what you teach your children? Here's the church, here's the people. Open the door, and there are the people. Well, that's true. When the local church comes together, in a special way, God is there. And he goes on to say, be careful. If anyone corrupt the temple of God, him will God corrupt. He's talking about the local church. You be very careful how you handle the local church. If you do damage to the local church, God will do damage to you. So you be very careful how you handle the local church. So there's the local church, the human body, the local church, and the third is the universal church. That's in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm guessing the verses, about verses 19 to 22, where he says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you are being built as a naos, a sanctuary. Now, I don't understand that one. This means all the believers on this earth and in heaven, because it's built on the apostles and prophets. This is the church universal. All who have believed since Pentecost up to when the rapture occurs are in this temple. And in all three temples, we have a responsibility. The first responsibility, of course, is to glorify God in our bodies. Keep yourself pure. The second temple is the church, where the context goes on to talk about building. I laid the foundation. Others build on it. You be careful of how you build in that church, because fire is going to try the work of everyone of what sort it is. So we are to be at work in the local church, to build in that local church. The universal church, unity. We walk in unity with other believers. And that church is being built up by evangelism, by sharing the gospel so that people come to know Christ. And it's built up by Christians growing. So you have three present-day sanctuaries. You know why? Emmanuel. God wants to dwell with us, and he wants to walk in fellowship with us. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Well, I'm going to let you out early. I hope you don't mind. You get ahead of those Baptists at the But I do want to say thank you so much for the gifts, and may the Lord give you a blessed Christmas and a blessed New Year. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we are just overwhelmed with the concept you're desiring to dwell with us. It's beyond anything we can comprehend. We can't begin to fathom the depths of that truth. But we thank you, Father, for it, that you want to be with us. And we pray that we may honor you in our present-day temples, this body, the Stonebriar Community Church, the Church Universal, for other believers. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And as John said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we pray that this Christmas season, we may see something of the glory of Jesus Christ and magnify his name. Now watch over us. Some of us are going to be traveling. Some of us will be staying here. But I pray that you watch over us so that we may be preserved from accident and harm. And some are soon going to be going through surgery. We pray that you'll honor yourself and glorify yourself in bringing these people through successful surgeries. I thank you again, Father, for this class. Keep anything from coming in and dividing us. We pray that we may continue to walk in love and devotion to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you much.